This is the reading for June 30th. Job chapter 31. But I made an agreement with my eyes not to look with desire at a girl. What has God above promised for people? What has the Almighty planned from on high? It is ruin for evil people and disaster for those who do wrong. God sees my ways and counts every step I take. If I have been dishonest or lied to others, then let God weigh me on honest scales. Then He will know I have done nothing wrong. If I have turned away from doing what is right, or my heart has been led by my eyes to do wrong, or my hands have been made unclean, then let other people eat what I have planted, and let my crops be plowed up. If I have desired another woman or have waited at my neighbor's door for his wife, then let my wife grind another man's grain and let other men have sexual relations with her. That would be shameful, a sin to be punished. It is like a fire that burns and destroys. All I have done would be plowed up. If I have been unfair to my male and female slaves when they had a complaint against me, how could I tell God what I did? What will I answer when He asks me to explain what I've done? God made me in my mother's womb, and He also made them. The same God formed both of us in our mother's wombs. I have never refused the appeals of the poor or let widows give up hope while looking for help. I have not kept my food to myself, but I have given it to the orphans. Since I was young, I have been like a father to the orphans. From my birth, I guided the widows. I have not let anyone die for lack of clothes or let a needy person go without a coat. That person's heart blessed me because I warmed him with the wool of my sheep. I have never hurt an orphan, even when I knew I could win in court. If I have, then let my arm fall off my shoulder and be broken at the joint. I fear destruction from God, and I fear His majesty, so I could not do such things. I have not put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, "You are my security." I have not celebrated my great wealth or the riches my hands had gained. I have not thought about worshiping the sun and its brightness, nor admired the moon moving in glory, so that my heart was pulled away from God. My hand has never offered the sun and moon a kiss of worship. If I had, these also would have been sins to be punished, because I would have been unfaithful to God. I have not been happy when my enemy fell or laughed when he had trouble. I have not let my mouth sin by cursing my enemy's life. The men of my house have always said, "Everyone has eaten all he wants of Job's food." No stranger ever had to spend the night in the street because I always let travelers stay in my home. I have not hidden my sin as others do, secretly keeping my guilt to myself. I was not so afraid of the crowd that I kept quiet and stayed inside because I feared being hated by other families. How I wish a court would hear my case. Here I sign my name to show I have told the truth. Now let the Almighty answer me. Let the one who accuses me write it down. I would wear the writing on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would explain to God every step I took, and I would come near to Him like a prince. If my land cries out against me, and its plowed rows are not wet with tears, if I have taken the land's harvest without paying or have broken the spirit of those who worked the land, then let thorns come up instead of wheat, and let weeds come up instead of barley. The words of Job are finished. 1 Chronicles chapter 19. When Nahash, king of the Ammonites, died, his son became king after him. David said, "Nahash was loyal to me, so I will be loyal to his son Hanun." So David sent messengers to comfort Hanun about his father's death. David's officers went to the land of the Ammonites to comfort Hanun. But the Ammonite leader said to Hanun, "Do you think David wants to honor your father by sending men to comfort you?" No, David sent them to study the land and capture it and spy it out. So Hanun arrested David's officers. To shame them, he shaved their beards and cut off their clothes at the hips. Then he sent them away. When the people told David what had happened to his officers, he sent messengers to meet them because they were very ashamed. King David said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards have grown back, then come home." The Ammonites knew that they had insulted David. So Hanun and the Ammonites sent about 74,000 pounds of silver to hire chariots and chariot drivers from northwest Mesopotamia, Aram, Maacah, and Zobah. The Ammonites hired 32,000 chariots and the king of Maacah and his army. So they came and set up camp near the town of Medeba. The Ammonites themselves came out of their towns and got ready for battle. When David heard about this, he sent Joab with the whole army. The Ammonites came out and prepared for battle at the city gate. The kings who had come to help were out in the field by themselves. Joab saw that there were enemies both in front of him and behind him. So he chose some of the best soldiers of Israel and sent them out to fight the Arameans. Joab put the rest of the army under the command of Abishai, his brother. Then they went out to fight the Ammonites. Joab said to Abishai, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, you must help me. Or if the Ammonites are too strong for you, I will help you. Be strong. We must fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what he thinks is right." Then Joab and the army with him went to attack the Arameans, and the Arameans ran away. When the Ammonites saw that the Arameans were running away, they also ran away from Joab's brother Abishai and went back to their city. So Joab went back to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that Israel had defeated them, they sent messengers to bring other Arameans from east of the Euphrates River. Their leader was Shophak, the commander of Hadadezer's army. When David heard about this, he gathered all the Israelites, and they crossed over the Jordan River. He prepared them for battle, facing the Arameans. The Arameans fought with him, but they ran away from the Israelites. David killed 7,000 Aramean chariot drivers and 40,000 Aramean foot soldiers. He also killed Shophak, the commander of the Aramean army. When those who served Hadadezer saw that the Israelites had defeated them, they made peace with David and served him, so the Arameans refused to help the Ammonites again. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. In the spring, the time of year when kings normally went out to battle, Joab led out the army of Israel, but David stayed in Jerusalem. The army of Israel destroyed the land of Ammon and went to the city of Rabbah and attacked it. David took the crown off the head of their king and had it placed on his own head. That gold crown weighed about 75 pounds, and it had valuable gems in it. And David took many valuable things from the city. He also brought out the people of the city and forced them to work with saws, iron picks, and axes. David did this to all the Ammonite cities. Then David and all his army returned to Jerusalem. Later, at Gezer, war broke out with the Philistines. Sibekai the Hushathite killed Sipai, who was one of the descendants of the Rephaites, so those Philistines were defeated. Later, there was another battle with the Philistines. Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lahmi, the brother of Goliath, who was from the town of Gath. His spear was as large as a weaver's rod. At Gath, another battle took place. A huge man was there. He had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 fingers and toes in all. This man also was one of the sons of Rapha. When he spoke against Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. These descendants of Rapha from Gath were killed by David and his men.
The Book of Acts, chapter 10.
A man named Cornelius lived in the city of Caesarea. He was a Roman army officer in the Italian regiment. He and everyone in his home were devout and respected God. Cornelius gave many gifts to poor Jewish people and always prayed to God. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He clearly saw an angel from God come to him and say, "Cornelius." He stared at the angel and was terrified. Cornelius asked the angel, "What do you want, sir?" The angel answered him, "God is aware of your prayers and your gifts to the poor, and he has remembered you. send messengers now to the city of Joppa and summon a man whose name is Simon Peter. He is a guest of Simon, a leather worker, whose house is by the sea. After saying this, the angel left. Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of those who served him regularly. Cornelius explained everything to them and sent them to Joppa. Around noon the next day, while Cornelius's men were on their way and coming close to Joppa, Peter went on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat. While the food was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large linen sheet being lowered by its four corners to the ground. In the sheet were all kinds of four-footed animals, reptiles, and birds. A voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill these animals and eat them." Peter answered, "I can't do that, Lord. I've never eaten anything that is impure or unclean." A voice spoke to him a second time, "Don't say that the things which God has made clean are impure." This happened three times. Then the sheet was quickly taken into the sky. While Peter was puzzled by the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house and went to the gate. They asked if Simon Peter was staying there. Peter was still thinking about the vision when the Spirit said to him, "Three men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with these men. I have sent them." So Peter went to the men. He said, "I'm the man you're looking for. Why are you here?" The men replied, "Cornelius, a Roman army officer, sent us. He's a man who has God's approval and who respects God. Also, the Jewish people respect him. A holy angel told him to summon you to his home to hear what you have to say." Peter asked the men to come into the house and had them stay overnight. The next day, Peter left with them. Some disciples from Joppa went along. The following day, they arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called his relatives and close friends together. When Peter was about to enter Cornelius' house, Cornelius met him, bowed down, and worshiped Peter. But Peter made him get up. He told him, "Stand up, I'm only a man." As Peter talked, he entered Cornelius' house and found that many people had gathered. He said to them, "You understand how wrong it is for a Jewish man to associate or visit with anyone of another race, but God has shown me that I should no longer call anyone impure or unclean. That is why I didn't object to coming here when you sent for me. I want to know why you sent for me." Cornelius answered, "Four days ago I was praying at home. It was at this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man dressed in radiant clothes stood in front of me. He said to me, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and has remembered your gifts to the poor. So send messengers to Joppa and summon a man whose name is Simon Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon, a leather worker who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately. Thank you for coming. All of us are here now in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has ordered you to say." Then Peter said, "Now I understand that God doesn't play favorites. Rather, whoever respects God and does what is right is acceptable to him in any nation. God sent his word to the people of Israel and brought them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ is everyone's Lord. You know what happened throughout Judea. Everything began in Galilee after John spread the news about baptism. You know that God anointed Jesus from Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus went everywhere and did good things, such as healing everyone who was under the devil's power. Jesus did these things because God was with him. We can testify to everything Jesus did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. People hung him on a cross and killed him, but God brought him back to life on the third day. God didn't show him to all the people. He showed Jesus to witnesses, apostles he had already chosen. We apostles are those men who ate and drank with Jesus after he came back to life. He ordered us to warn the people, 'God has appointed Jesus to judge the living and the dead.' In addition, all the prophets testify that people who believe in the one named Jesus receive forgiveness for their sins through him." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came to everyone who heard his message. All the believers who were circumcised and who had come with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on people who were not Jewish. They heard these non-Jewish people speaking in other languages and praising God. Then Peter said, "No one can refuse to baptize these people with water. They have received the Holy Spirit in the same way that we did." So Peter ordered that they should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for several days.